Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. I'm in Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 41. Where I'm going to take my text today. I've shortened the reading on this quite a bit. I'll try to explain it to you and get it into context of what I'm preaching here. And I want to thank those that come down supported the revival this past week. It was a good place to be, and I thank the Lord for it. And I'm sorry, Brother Jeff Hall's in the hospital today, and we miss him. Sorry, praying that God had expedited his healing and he'd get back out and on be able to go. Dusty and Joe Beth got a little water in the basement last night. They got overblessed, got a little abundance. So Colin and Grandma might be watching us right now. I don't know. I hope they are. And Dusty's vacuuming up water. There you go. At least he got a vacuum cleaner. You found Luke 19 and 41. Shout amen for me. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day." Understand, that could be referring to you right now. "In this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes." If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine on them. "For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee in on every side." In other words, there'll be no escape. "And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not," here's what I'm preaching today, "the time of thy visitation." Father, I love you, and I thank you for this day and this time, and Lord, it's a still spirit today. Surely, God, you're working on the other side right now. And I'm just going to give the gospel today, Lord. And I pray you make it fresh and make it new. Lord, I pray you make it like it's the first time we've heard it. Help me to preach like a dying man to dying people. Help me, Lord, by filling my mouth and guarding my tongue and keeping me inside the bounds of the book. Touch the hearts of, Lord, that they might receive this word today. It'd be an encouragement to the saint of God. It would edify and exalt our Savior. I'm going to praise you for what you're doing in advance. You've been mighty good to us, Lord. Help us exalt you now today in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I want to try to preach today on that last part of verse number 44. The time of thy visitation. Now, to take this in context, he's speaking to the city of Jerusalem in particular. When he come out, he said, when he was come near, he beheld the city. He's looking at Jerusalem. He knows why he has come to this city at this time. He had been avoiding them of Jewry. He had been staying away because they sought to kill him. But what we have here, this is the week. Jesus is coming, and this week is leading up to his crucifixion. And in this week, prior to this, him weeping over the city, we find his arrival to the city. Now the arrival is this. It's 400 and nearly 500 years prior to this. The old prophet Zechariah said, "Here's how you're going to know that it's him." He said, "Shout, Jerusalem, for thy king cometh with salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and the colt, the foal of an ass. Well, everybody knows you don't ride the colt. You ride the one that's grown. So here he was telling them, when this occurs, your king has come in. Now, they're not paying him any mind, though they know the scripture. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, is what Jesus said. So search the scriptures. A lot of people can quote John 3:16. They don't have an idea who Jesus is. So, hey, the Jews was that way on his arrival, Brother Dennis. He came in exactly like the prophet nearly 500 years prior to him arriving. He came forth just like the prophet said. How does that happen? He's God. That's how that happens. There's no other explanation. This book will prove itself if people will just read the book. Now, we see his arrival. Number two, we see his arrest. In Isaiah 53:7, it said that he opened not his mouth. He was oppressed. They come. They took him. He opened not his mouth. Now, Isaiah's another couple of hundred years prior to this. So we're just going back, and it's still telling what's going to happen. And they arrest the King of Glory. Number three. In this week, I'm speaking of this week, we see his arrival into the city. We see his arrest. And then number three, we see his assassination. I use that word today because it refers to a religious ruler or a political leader whom is killed for some unknown reason. And that's what he was. Friend, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's the King of the Jews. And he's the Savior of the world. And they killed him. It was an assassination. Not only that, we see this week Jesus and what occurred in this week with him. And then we see this, we see what the Jews done. First, they confirmed who he was by Psalm 118 and verse 26. Said he's going to come in. You can read it for yourself, and it describes exactly what Jesus done. As a matter of fact, it's referred to as in an upper verse. I didn't mark it down, but it refers to Psalm 118, that's for sure. And verse 26, it confirmed that he's the Christ. But then they not only confirmed it, they didn't mean to, but they condemned him. And what he done, and all he ever done was people good. You have today every good thing because of him. You don't have anything on your own. There are no self-made men. That is not true. That's a false statement. You didn't make yourself. You didn't give yourself health. You didn't give yourself strength. Acts 17:28. You didn't give yourself none of these things. It's in him, bless God. You got up this morning because he gave you strength to get up. You're sitting in a chair because he gave you strength and breath. You've got a family that loves you, if you got one that loves you. And if you don't, you get saved today. You could have. You've got everything you got. Hey, but what did they do? They condemned him for who he was. They all let him. The multitude led him. Luke 23:1 says, and in Luke 23:33, I've heard Mike Blanton preach this several times. They crucified him. There, they crucified him. The there, the they, the him. That's what they done. This all takes place in this week. Well, what's that got to do with the time of thy visitation? Because he had come, and they had a specific time, and they had the opportunity, but opportunity was lost. He come, and he revealed himself unto them by the scripture. Point number one today. Scripture attests that Jesus is Christ. Hands down, bar none, absolutely, without a doubt. He is the Christ. I've been watching a lot, and this is probably dangerous to do. I've been watching a lot of Calvinist and Arminian debate. And then I watch a guy, I don't know which vein he comes out of, but I watch him in this respect, and he's debating an atheist, and so it's a lot of, and then I saw, stay with me just a moment. Then I saw a fella, and this guy's kind of like Brother Gordon taught us this morning. He's so sure that he's absolutely right in every single aspect of the word that he scares me. Everybody else is wrong, but he's got it down. I mean, he doesn't go for any other denomination than his. I don't know what he is. Maybe he's non-denominational. I don't know. But you know what, friend? I believe there's some people in the Church of God that's saved to the uttermost. I believe there's some Pentecostals out there that's saved to the uttermost. I believe there's some Methodists out there that's saved to the uttermost. I believe there's some assembly out there that's saved. There's a few Free Will Baptists that's saved.
Hallelujah.
It's not denominations that causes us to be Christians. Now, I may not be dead in line with a lot of other fellas. And matter of fact, I read after a lot of people and I just disagree with some of them. I disagree with them heading this as the triumphal entry. I don't see any triumph in this alone. I see a tragic entry because they just, bless God, they just a few of them saying, Hosanna to the highest. The entire nation should have been on its face that day saying he's the Lord and he's Christ. I see it as a tragedy that the scripture revealed him for who he was and they didn't recognize him. The scripture attests that Jesus is the Christ. John 1. I watched a fellow witnessing to a Muslim. He said, nowhere in that book does Jesus say he's God. I thought, you can't read. That's your problem. In the beginning was the
Word.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Verse 14 puts it all into one bowl, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm telling you, you know what I need today? I need his grace and I need his truth. Hallelujah. And he's full of it. He hasn't been diminished and he hasn't run out. And if you need it today, listen, he's got what you need. It's sufficient, as we learned in Sunday school. And look here, friend, if you're unsaved, you'll be saved today by the grace of God.
Amen.
There's a lot of people going to church. There's a lot of people doing a lot of things. And they're unsaved. I will agree with that gentleman on that one point. He said the church is set full of lost people. I agree. The Word was made flesh. The scripture attests that Jesus is Christ. Now, I want you to look at this. I don't want to just read this. I want you to turn to John 6 and verse 44. And Pat's mama, Sister Betty, came to my mind as I'm reading this early this morning. And Betty would say this. You guys quote that verse all the time. No man can come to the Father except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. She said, but they don't understand that. speaking, referring to lost people. I'm not sure some Christians know. I understand it. And I have failed miserably in that that's as far as I went in the quotation. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now, Brother Gordon used my verse this morning. So then, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear, huh, without a preacher? There has to be someone, and we learn what that means. The scripture shows us. It's in the scripture. We've got to hear the word of God. They've got to have the word of God. They don't need stories. They need the word of God. If that's not true, then Romans 10:17 is inaccurate. Faith cometh by hearing. He said they've heard, they've learned. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. You can't come any other way. Now, the draw only comes after the hearing of the word. Stay with me. Romans 10:17 proves that. So not only does the scripture attest that Jesus is the Christ, but the Spirit affirms it. The Spirit affirms that Jesus is Savior. Now, we go, flip on in John, stay right there in John, go to 14 and 16, go to 14 and 16. I didn't want to misquote any of this. Now, this is Jesus speaking to his men. And he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he have made abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. How are they ever going to know about it? Listen, they hear the word of God. Neither knoweth him. They don't see him and they don't know him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's how we know. It affirms that Jesus is my Savior. The Spirit of God does that. How did I find that out? I found out that by the word of God. I found out through the word, but by the Spirit. Are you with anybody with me today? Is there anybody in here today that the Holy Ghost indwells you and you are filled by the Spirit of God and you're glad to be saved and you don't have no fear of death and you know that it's going to be all right? And if you don't know that, you can know it. John 16, just flip right on over. 12 through 14, now listen real close. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. You know why? Well, I told Jimmy they weren't full of the Spirit yet. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, and that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. That's how I know. The scripture is heard. It attests to the fact of who he is, that Jesus is the Christ, and then the Spirit affirms that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
That's the evidence of being His, being led by the Spirit. If you're not led by the Spirit, according to that scripture, you're not the Son. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, praise God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Here's how I know. The Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit, just like Sister Marcia said. She's a little girl and the Lord spoke to her. Praise God. She'd been hearing the Word of God. And when you hear that Word, then the Spirit can come and He can do the work that only He can do. And the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What are we? The children of God. Now, I've been watching a preacher this past week. I watch him a lot. I listen to him. I glean some things. He's a brilliant man. He's a brilliant man. I just disagree with him wholly and completely on limited atonement. Yes, God is sovereign. Yes, man is holy. Man is we are in ourselves, we are hopeless. But now I'm going to tell you, for as many, when I come to this part now, listen, the scripture, it attests that Jesus is the Christ. The Spirit affirms it. And salvation is available. Salvation is available. Now here's where I disagree with my brother there, and I believe we're both saved to the uttermost. But salvation is available because Jesus is Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord, A+. That is it. So the redeemed of the Lord. Stay with me. Because not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Salvation is available. Jesus is Lord. He'll always be God. Keith Hatton used to say, can he be Lord at all if he's not Lord of all? John 3:16, it's right here on our window. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, that's important right there, begotten son, that, stop right there. Does that sound limited to you? You got to tear that verse out of the Bible if it's limited to only a certain few. And then God's sovereignty, he knew who they was before he made the world and they'd be saved. Now God knows who'll be saved. There's not a doubt in my mind. The foreknowledge of God, Brother Irvin, God knows who's going to be saved. But Jesus, you know what he said? How many people are lost when they're born naturally? All of them, amen, there we're going. Everybody's born, natural born sinners. Amen. Colin Boy knows it. Throw something down the stairs after him telling him not to. Get it, Pa. And then Pa goes, gets it, and then when he does it for his daddy, he gets a whipping. Natural born sinner. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, he said, he came to seek and to save that which was A+. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Does that not put us all in the same barrel as sinners? But he said, hey, whosoever will, glory to God, whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's you, friend. If you don't know him today, you can know him. And you better not try to fake it because you can't make it if you try to fake it. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And here the scripture, I know this, a multitude of people think this old book's outdated. This book is more accurate than any book that's ever been written. It's right on time, Tommy. It's exactly accurate. It's perfect present tense. It's for now. It's not for later. It's for now. Can't prove that. Yeah, I can. Now is the accepted time. Now. Now is the day of salvation. And it's available. Why? How do you know that? Because the scripture attests to it and the Spirit affirmed it. And salvation is available if you want it. About 10 years ago, if I'd have come in here and this service had been kind of flat like it's been this morning, I'd have been scared to death. I'd thought, Lord God, we've all backslid and the whole world's about to come to an end. I've learned a thing or two. When God steals the waters, you can sow the seed. Somebody's listening. And you can have this thing we call salvation. Saved. What do you say? Saved from the wrath to come.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Saved from sin and to Christ. Saved. My friend told me, said, it's what you Baptists call saved. I said, it's what the Bible calls it.
Yes, sir.
It's not a Baptist term. It's a Bible term. Saved by grace through faith and that not of yourself. Now God gives us the faith. I'll agree. He's dealt to every man the measure of faith. It's God's faith. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. By whose faith? By his faith. It's his grace and his faith, and he gives every man a measure. But watch this, friend. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Enact that faith. Active faith, God's grace, active faith equals salvation. That's how I got it. I don't know how everybody else got it. And that's how I understand it. And I've studied and prayed and sought God, and he's never changed my mind on that. Do you do something to be saved? No. I do something because I am saved. Because faith without works is dead. The evidence is there that that's not real saving faith. Are you perfect, preacher? So far from it. Don't ask my wife. So far. But I'd like to be. I'd like to say that I went through this past year and didn't flub one time. Not once. Everything I'd done was straight up, Roland. I mean, not one flaw, not an anger, not an activity, nothing. Paul said it. Here's what I know. He said that I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing good about your flesh. It's rotten to the core. Yes, say so can't. Oh, I'm not rotten. I can make you mad in 2 seconds. I've done it too many times. I know I'm good at it. One guy said, "I can't believe you said that." I said, "I can't believe it made you mad." Glory to God. Can I ask you today? You know, if you died right now, that forever heaven's your home. I mean, died right now. So I'm not going to die right now. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know. Not just old guys like me die. Young guys die. Babies die. Dusty said, "I've about had it with these storms." I said, "Praise God, you're safe. Things were good. Got a little water. It's better than a tree falling on the house." He said, "That's exactly right. It's better than that." Read a story a long time ago. Here's the situation.
If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, that's not your organ in your chest. That's with your mind, your inner being, your understanding. With the heart, the interior man. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's why I require them to say the Lord. If they don't say nothing but the Lord save me before I baptize them, that's what they need to know. Who done it? The Lord. One guy said, Brother Mike saved me. I said, no, hold on there. Brother Mike didn't save nobody. You're going to die and go to hell if Brother Mike done it. But if Jesus, well, you know what I mean. I said, no, no, don't say that. I don't know what you mean. You say the Lord. Did the Lord save you? Well, yeah, it was Jesus that done it. I said, now you're talking right.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Ethan Allen was a Revolutionary War hero. He captured a fort. It was kind of an odd thing had happened. Now, most people know him, but there's a furniture chain, Ethan Allen Furniture. Ethan didn't know I was going to use his name, did he? And Ethan was asked to speak at a men's conference. Sister Melina tried to find this for me. I read this in a book, and then she tried to research and find the confirmation on this, but she didn't. So I'm taking this guy's word for it in this book I read. And he said Ethan Allen was asked to speak at a men's breakfast. He's kind of, everybody, he's kind of a hero, local celebrity of sorts. They asked him to speak at a men's breakfast, and here's what he said. When he got up to speak, he said, I have nothing to say about myself. He said, I'm going to tell you a story that happened in my own life. He said, I was fortunate to marry a young woman and said she was the love of my life. He said, I didn't know that I'd ever find someone that had me, and I found her and I loved her and she loved me, and it was just good. And said, but the thing was, she was a Christian and I was an infidel. He said she would go to church and beg me to go. And he said, I loved her. And I'd say, honey, you go on to your church. You do that. I'll go do what I do. He said, because she was a Christian and I was an infidel. And this went on and on. He said, and then later on, they'd been married quite a while, and she had a little girl. He said, man, I love my wife. He said, and I love that little girl. She was daddy's little girl. And said, everywhere I went, she wanted to go with daddy. And I'd take her. Said, in the first 7 to 10 years, I'm trying to recall, it right in there, 10 years old, I think it was, she went with her mama religiously to Sunday school. He said, her mama went to Sunday school and to church because she was a Christian, but I was an infidel, unbeliever. I didn't go. He said, She got up about that age. She said, Mama, I don't want to go to church with you anymore. I want to go with Daddy. Daddy's having a lot more fun than you're having. I want to go with him. And he said, I told her, honey, you come with Daddy. He said, so I took her to barn dances and sported her around and showed her off because her mama was a Christian, but I was an infidel. He said, time went on. She got up to be early, mid-teens. She's wanting to go out to a barn dance one night. Nothing wrong with that. Daddy goes all the time. Hey, horse and buggy days. Go ahead. Go to your barn dance. She takes off with some friends. The horse runs away with them. There's a bridge, Brother Irvin. The buggy crashes on the bridge, flips them all out into the water. And it's in the dead of winter. And she gets froze to the bone. She gets home, Brother Paul. She contracts pneumonia. The doctor's called. He comes to the house. In those days, doctors made house calls. They didn't have walk-in clinics and the things we've got today. The antibiotics, the things, medical treatments weren't what they are today. She,
The doctor was summoned. He came to the house. He walked into the room. He looked at her, listened to her breathe. He walked back out and told the mom and dad. He said, she's not going to live. Daddy said, no way. She's got, this is my child. She's got to live. He said, sir, I'm sorry. She's not going to live. She's past me being able to do anything for her. Said they walked in there beside the bed, Dennis. Said the little girl raised her hands up, their last strength, and grabbed her mama's hand and her daddy's hand. She's pale as a ghost. She said, Daddy, tell me. For the first 10 years of my life, I went mama's way. She said, but I know I'm about to die. Now, Daddy, which way do I go? Do I go mama's way or do I go daddy's way? He said, before he could tell her, said she took her last breath, and he said, I stood in the face of my dead child screaming, go mama's way, go mama's way. He said, gentlemen, can I encourage you? The children's going to watch you. He said, today I'm a Christian, and I'll not know till I get to heaven whether she went mama's way or she went my way. Which way are you going? You know what this is right now? It's the time of thy visitation.
Yes, sir.
It's the time of thy visitation. The scripture has been shared. The Spirit has come. How do you know? Because he's bearing witness with me right now. Praise God. He is in this place. You know what that means? Salvation is available. Come to the piano, Sister Jewel.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.